Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
You heard in the announcements that Don Miller's coming and he's going to be speaking next Sunday. It's always a pleasure to hear Don. He brings us some great stories about what God is doing over in different parts of the world. And so that's awesome. Sunday after that, I am going to start a new series on the book of Mark. And I'm going to preach the first half of the book of Mark, to Mark chapter 9. And I'm preaching it as fast as I can. It's going to take me to August to get to Mark chapter 9. But if you want to get ahead of the game, I would encourage you to read through the Gospel of Mark, maybe even read through it a couple of times, so you know the big picture story. And I think this series is really going to be encouraging to you. Because in some ways, today we're talking about recognizing Jesus, but the Gospel of Mark is all about recognizing Jesus. Mark Hall is the lead singer of a popular Christian group called Casting Crowns. A young fan by the name of Erin Browney met Mark, and she met him because, well, she had written some choreography to some beautiful choreography to a song that they wrote. About the time that Erin met Mark, she was diagnosed with cancer. Mark and the band journeyed with Erin in her battle against cancer. Mark was amazed by her faith and her family's faith and their trust in God, in spite of what they were going through. They prayed for healing, but less than a year later, Erin passed away. Mark wrote this song that became a hit song for Casting Crowns. I am sure by now, God, you would have reached out down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. And once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hand and praise the God who gives and takes away. If you've ever prayed and hoped for a miracle, but as the song says, you say amen and it's still raining, you probably have an inkling of what the two disciples on the road to Emmaus were feeling. It's Resurrection Sunday morning. You heard the story read. Two disciples, they weren't part of the original 12. Nevertheless, they were disciples, and they were discussing with one another what had happened on Easter weekend, and they were depressed. Now, Jesus starts walking along beside them, and they didn't recognize Jesus. So Jesus asks, well, what are you discussing? And they said, this is what we're talking about, and about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But we had hoped. Where they were was not where they had signed up to be. They'd followed Jesus, and they'd hoped for so much more. Have you ever been there? You prayed in faith, you hoped for a miracle, but it didn't come. You trusted God, but it feels like you're struggling with the same things you were struggling with last year. You hoped in God, but you look around and life is still hard. You're trying to stay positive, but even that isn't easy. I know there's been stretches in my spiritual journey where I've walked that road to Emmaus. You trust God, you hope in God, but during those stretches, it feels like it's difficult to find God. Verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, in the third day since all this took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb this morning, and but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen visions of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went and found to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. These men had heard rumors of the resurrection, but they were still downcast. They'd heard rumors of a miracle, but they were still depressed. They'd heard rumors of God at work, but they just couldn't believe for themselves. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I've been there. You're going through this real battle, and it challenges all that you are. And then a well-meaning brother or sister in the faith comes up and says, hey, I know such and such a person who's going through what you went through, and God met them, and God healed them, and God did amazing things in their lives. I love to hear stories of miracles that God has done. But when you're walking the road to Emmaus, those stories don't resonate. It's great that God's working. He just doesn't seem to be working in my situation. Some of you feel that way. Some of you see others experiencing joy in worship, and they're enjoying God, but you don't seem to be able to connect like you would like with God in worship. You know others who are prayer life is deep and substantial, and they meet with God. It feels like when you pray, you're talking to a brass ceiling. You hear testimonies that intrigue you and puzzle you. They're out there, and you know that God can, but it's hard to believe that God will for you. But we had hoped. They'd hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel, but Jesus had bigger dreams for these guys. Jesus has bigger dreams for you and for me. What is great about this story is that they're talking to Jesus, but they don't know that it's Jesus who's listening. They are disappointed that he died, and they believe that he is no more, yet he's right there with them. What does Jesus do? He comes up and he walks alongside of them, and they said, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't go, woohoo, it's me, surprise. You know, don't be down, don't be depressed. It's not what he does. Verse 25, said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus basically says, it's not about the circumstances. It's about your heart, and let me help you with your heart. Let me explain to you from the scriptures what has gone on and what had to go on and what is going on. I have some things that I want to teach you. So he expounds on the scriptures to them. Here's what I've learned. There are some things that God can only teach when you're surrounded by darkness. There are some things you cannot learn when everything's wonderful. There are some things that God can only teach us when he is apparently not close, that we would not learn if we felt him close. As I look back on my Emmaus road and my journey, here's some things that I learned. I can see now that God was at work even when I couldn't sense God at work. Learned that just shall live by faith. I found that God is faithful even when I'm not. When I doubted his faithfulness. When I was angry at him. when I was disappointed with him, I discovered that God is always, always faithful. There were times when I held God at arm's length, but God is always faithful. I've come to understand at an experiential level that we live in a broken world, and there are times when God heals our hurts, but life is never going to be perfect. We're not in heaven yet. I found that, well, God loves me deeper than I love him. He can be relied on for strength through the day, but just for the day. He doesn't promise us our monthly bread or our yearly bread. He just promises to give us our daily bread. I found that one of the primary ways that God comes to us is through his people. There is something that happens when God's people use their spiritual gift to speak into your life. It makes the intangible God, the God you cannot see, tangible. One of the primary lessons that he taught me is that just shall live by faith. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will, and we may not be able to feel him, but you can learn and lean upon his and trust his character and his promises. Back to our story. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went and stayed with them. What happens if these disciples aren't the hospitable type? What happens if they do not invite Jesus, who they don't know, into their home? The story doesn't end near so well. Hospitality matters. Verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? When Jesus talked to them, it says their hearts burned within them, and their hospitality followed that burning heart. And verse 29 says, they urged Jesus strongly to stay with them. I found that Jesus has a variety of ways that he comes. Maybe it's in a book that someone recommends, or a podcast, or a sermon, or a movie, or a song. Maybe it's a conference or a special church service. Or it may come from a talk with a friend. Now, obviously, there's times when those things happen and nothing, my heart isn't burning, but there's some times where it just connects with where you are. So often something comes along that I just know would be good, and my heart burns within me. But I, like you, am busy. Don't have everything, time to contemplate everything that passes into my life. But those things that make our hearts burn within us, those are the things we need to take note of. See, there are times in our life where it's hard to see God, to sense God, to hear God in those amazed moments in our lives. But we just keep on walking. We keep on looking for God, keep on listening for God. We may even talk with some friends about what's going on, but God seems to be far away. And if you were in that season, look out for things that make your heart burn. Those things that just you start to feel life in your heart. Those often indicate that God is speaking to you, even when it's hard to realize that God is speaking to you. It might be a chance encounter with somebody or an amazing conversation. It might be the right verse of scripture at the right time, a sermon that stands out to you. When that happens, and maybe God's speaking to you, before you even know that God is speaking to you. Maybe that God wants to say something to you before he reveals himself to you. Let's read that verse of scripture again. So when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked themselves, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road? So much like Jesus in my life. I catch a glimpse of him, and then he disappears. Have you ever been there? You're at a church service, and you know you've connected with God. And you wish you could keep that connection, but you go home, and it seems to fade. Or if you have this wonderful time of prayer, and you sense the presence of God, but after you leave prayer, the drone of life takes over. You have the sense of peace, but quickly passes. You think, my spiritual life should be more substantial than this. I wish it wouldn't come and go so easily. Here's what I've learned. Often those glimpses of Jesus are precursors to something more substantial, if we're willing to follow up on them. Why do you think it is that Jesus allows these two disciples to recognize him, and then immediately following that, he disappears? I'm sure that they would have had 1,000 questions. I would have had 1,000 questions. And probably most of those questions would be an exercise in missing the point. What happened in that moment where they recognized Jesus? Well, their perspective was radically altered. Where before they thought Jesus was dead, now they knew he was alive. Where before they thought the women who found the empty tomb and heard from the angels, well, that they were just faking it or that they had misunderstood. Now they understood that they were right and the disciples on the road to Emmaus were the ones with unbelief. Their perspective had changed. When their eyes were opened, it gave them new meaning to the conversation in which they failed to recognize Jesus. They realized that their hearts were burning within them. They realized that he had shown them from Scripture what the Messiah had to go through. It gave them a deeper understanding of what had happened on the road that they just walked. That shift in perspective, that new insight changed everything. It was enough that for them to change their plans. Remember, they told Jesus, the day's almost over. You know, come in. Now, the day's further along, and they race back the 7 miles it takes to get to Jerusalem with hearts full of joy. Here's what happened, verse 33. And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told of what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. These two, though it was nearly night, though they had 7 miles back to Jerusalem to walk, went and told the disciples about what had happened to them. If you just hold your experiences of Jesus to yourself, they have a way of dissipating. They kind of just fade into the past. If you find a way to share your experiences with others who know what it means to experience Christ, those experiences have a way of solidifying, becoming more substantial. They have a way of taking root. The two disciples were saying, hey, we've seen the Lord. And the disciples were saying, well, Peter has seen the Lord. And there's this outbreak of mutual sharing and experience. The two disciples had caught a glimpse of Jesus. Peter had spoken to Jesus. A shift in perspective had happened when the two disciples caught a glimpse of the Lord at the supper table. And they shared it with the community. And there's a perspective shift in the whole community. The Lord is risen. He's no longer dead. He is no longer in the grave. He has risen. And you sense this building of faith happening within the community. There's this hope that was not there before. People's despondency were turning to joy. And they were amazed. And look what happens. Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood amongst them and said to them, peace be with you. While they're still talking about these things, the Lord appears. What I find fascinating is although they believe the disciples and they believe Peter, and then the Lord appears, what happens? They freak out. Verse 37. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do you doubt rise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself, touch me, see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. You see that I have. You see the progression of faith. The two disciples were despondent over what had happened in Jerusalem on Easter weekend. Jesus appears to them, but they don't recognize him. But Jesus opens up the scriptures, and their hearts burn within them. And when they get a glimpse of Jesus, their perspective is changed. They go back to their community and talk about seeing the Lord, and Peter confirms that he's seen the Lord, and there's joy and there's skepticism. Then the Lord appears in their midst, and the first impression is that he was a ghost. After all, cultural norms said when you see dead people, it's a ghost. Finally, they saw Jesus and believed. If you're traveling down the road to Emmaus, you're probably not going to go from despondency to joy in one step. You may have to notice that your heart was burning within you. When God brings up things and brings them across your path. You may catch a glimpse of God, but just a glimpse. It may change your perspective, and when that happens, it's not the end of the journey. You tell people about your encounter with Jesus, and it's encouraging, but you are together sharing with one another, and Jesus has a way of appearing. And you experience Jesus together as you pray, as you worship together. See, there are times in all our lives where we're hip-checked onto the road to Emmaus. It's a road that travels through dark valleys. You pray, you reach out to God, and it's still raining. You say with the two disciples, but we had hoped. We had hoped that things wouldn't go like they did. We'd hoped that God would answer prayer. We feel so all alone. I want you to know that even in those times, God is traveling with you. Be looking for your heart warmed by God. God has a pattern of speaking through those things. He is getting you ready to get a glimpse of him. So when Jesus finally does break through, it will change your perspective. You'll see things differently. You'll help others to see Jesus because of what you've gone through. And as you share your story, God has a way of breaking through into community. He has a way of solidifying your faith. Here's what I hope for Asbury. I hope that we have a whole lot of God sightings. Where God breaks through and he shows us his way. The second verse of the Casting Crowns song, "I Will Praise You in the Storm," goes like this. "I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry, you raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am, and every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You've never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm." Here's what I want you to know if you're on the road to Emmaus. God is always, always, always faithful. Lord Jesus, wherever we find ourselves on our spiritual journey right now, I am asking that you, by your Spirit, would meet people where they're at. Thank you that you journey with us. Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't. So, Lord, I pray for those who are on that road. Give them your comfort, your strength. Help them get a glimpse of you, change your perspective, and then show up full force in their life, I pray. Thank you for who you are. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.